Right now, we take a look at the biggest political news in the country and in the presidential race.
Yesterday, presumptive GOP nominee Donald Trump got angry with the media at a news conference where he was challenged on his assertions that he gave millions of dollars to veterans groups.
Political commentator William Kristol has been scouring the Republican base for an independent challenger to Donald Trump, and it looks like he finally found a potential foil to the Trump candidacy.
And we look at the stakes in the California primary coming up next week as Democratic hopefuls Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders vie for delegates in the last big race ahead of the convention.
Joining us now to talk about the latest in political news is Harry Enten. He's senior political writer and analyst at 538.com. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
All right, so we got this press conference yesterday. Donald Trump talking to reporters about how much money he'd given to various veterans group. It didn't go like a lot of press conferences do. Let's give a quick listen here.
The press should be ashamed of themselves. And on behalf of the vets, the press should be ashamed of themselves. They are calling me and they are furious because I sent people checks of a lot of money, and I'm going to give you the names right now, which is what you want. And instead of being like, thank you very much, Mr. Trump, or Trump did a good job, everyone say, who got it, who got it, who got it? And you make me look very bad. I have never received such bad publicity for doing such a good job.
This is, I mean, politicians in the press, yeah, they clash. This is kind of different territory, isn't it, Harry?
I mean, it's very different territory, just the nasty, vitriolic voice that you hear from Trump. But the fact is that Trump's getting called out because Trump didn't donate the money that he said he was going to donate. He said he raised $6 million. This is back a long time ago that he said at the beginning of the primary season. The Washington Post checked it out, and he had not raised that money, and it was only after they started calling him out that he started writing the checks. So the press is exactly right on this, and I don't think Donald Trump has a leg to stand on, and I think that's part of the reason he's so angry, is he thinks that if he yells loud enough that people will actually think he's telling the truth, when in fact most people, most nonpartisan people, will say he was not.
For a Trump supporter, Donald Trump arguing with the media, they're probably going to be on Trump's side, aren't they?
Well, of course. I mean, look, Donald Trump has, you know, as I've written about, has coalesced the Republican base. He's getting 85% of that vote right now. These people are not going to leave him. The question remains is about that center of the aisle, which doesn't really like either Hillary Clinton nor Donald Trump, and how they view this news. And right now, these are the types of voters who don't tend to tune in until late in the process. And if you're only hearing negative stories about Trump, that's where I would guess that he'd get hurt. But then again, this cycle has been so strange. Who really knows?
You mentioned the Republican vote starting to coalesce around Donald Trump, and there was a lot of talk in the last few months. Well, are Republicans in elected positions and voters alike going to make a stand on principle, say Donald Trump is not one of us, we're not going to vote for him? Polling says no, right? It looks like people are saying, yeah, we're Republicans, we're going to vote for Trump.
Polling shows that those Republicans are falling right in line. What a surprise in this highly polarized age. I mean, look, Trump really pushed all the buttons to almost like an experiment, right? A political science experiment. How far away from Republican core beliefs could you go and still hold on to the Republican base? It turns out that you can, in fact, bash John McCain and Mitt Romney and still be able to maintain 85% of the Republican base. So to me, this whole idea of a never Trump movement has died the death in the general election that it died in the primary.
Were you surprised that it happened as quickly as it seems to have happened?
I think, you know, yeah, it's somewhat surprising given, you know, that, you know, like Paul Ryan hasn't been willing to get behind Trump just quite yet. And obviously Mitt Romney and Jeb Bush are never going to get behind Trump. So I guess it's surprising in that way. But then you look at this highly polarized age that we live in, you know, it's like, who are these Republican voters going to get behind? Hillary Clinton? Yeah, right.
Is this going to hurt the Republican Party? If they're are they buying into everything Trump does and says at this point? This veterans thing, the recent thing where he says the judge in the Trump University case isn't reliable because he's a Mexican, don't let Muslims into the country. Does the Republican Party, in down ballot elections especially, own these Trump statements now?
Well, you know, that's the real question, right? And we know from the past few election cycles that there's an increasingly strong relationship with how the presidential race goes in a state, and not only how the House race goes, but also the Senate race. So, for instance, you take a look at the state of Wisconsin, and you know that Donald Trump isn't particularly popular in Wisconsin. I believe the closest he's been in any poll to Hillary Clinton in that state is being down 9 percentage points. And not surprisingly, Ron Johnson has trailed Russ Feingold in every poll. And if you go from state to state to state, if Hillary Clinton starts winning races in these states, it wouldn't be surprising that she brings along Democratic senators with her.
Let's talk about a Clinton-Trump matchup looks like, probably the outcome of the primary season here. I know it's early. I know polls at this point don't necessarily tell us that much. That said, what are we seeing in the national polling?
We are seeing that Hillary Clinton, although her lead is certainly diminished from where it was prior to Donald Trump pretty much clinching the Republican nomination by winning in Indiana, she still holds a lead in most of the polls. Since Trump clinched the nomination, she's held an average lead of 2.4 percentage points. And I believe of the 25 or 26 polls that were taken so far, she's led in 21 of them, while Trump has led in just three. So she clearly leads. But remember, polls may be accurate at this time, but they aren't necessarily predictive of the final outcome.
A lot can change between now and then.
Yes, exactly.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538.com, looking at the latest in the presidential race. Well, the Never Trump movement, you said, pretty much dead, except for editor of the Weekly Standard, William Kristol. He's been an intellectual conservative voice against Donald Trump all along. He's been looking, he has said, online for a GOP challenger. A lot of people are not taking that up. A guy, though, Bill Kristol says, this is my guy, David French. Not a household name. I was not familiar with him. What do we know about this possible outside independent contender?
I mean, I was thinking that maybe Ronald English would be his guy. But the point is that, David French, who is David French? Who has ever heard of David French who's a regular voter? No one. And in fact, I just saw a video in which David French said that he would get behind Donald Trump if he won the nomination. I mean, this is, it was almost the same as if Bill Kristol was looking, couldn't find a guy he actually wanted. Then maybe David French said something. But as I said, the Never Trump movement is just simply, is not large. It's a very small intellectual movement. So, yeah, maybe David French could get on the ballot in a few states. But, you know, it's going to take a lot of money to get ballot access for a guy like that. And I just can't imagine there being a lot of enthusiasm for a guy that pretty much no one has ever heard of.
Yeah, to get on ballots in a lot of states, you'd probably need someone who could bring a lot of money to the table and a lot of enthusiasm. David French, I guess, he writes at the National Review. Iraq war vets are pointed to as his credentials. But again, not a household name, not something that people are instantly going to rally behind.
Let's put it this way. If the National Review had that much power, then Donald Trump wouldn't be the Republican nominee for president. And in fact, he is. It's just very difficult for me to imagine that a movement behind David French could get anywhere for the reasons that you listed versus, say, Gary Johnson, who is the Libertarian Party nominee, is going to be on the ballot in near 50 states. And that, to me, would be a far better vehicle if you want to voice your frustration with both the Democratic and Republican nominee.
Yeah, what's your thinking on that? So he just clinched the nomination for the Libertarian Party. He's got a former Republican governor along with him, too, as a running mate, it looks like, William Weld from Massachusetts. A lot of people, as you pointed out to us many times, not liking either candidate if it's Clinton versus Trump. Is this a year where Libertarians can probably not win, but make a difference in some key races?
Sure. I mean, if you look at the nationwide polling, there have been a number of polls where Gary Johnson has gotten greater than 10% of the vote. At this point, 4 years ago when he ran in 2012, he was only averaging about 2%. He ended up with 1%. So even if, you know, say Gary Johnson got half of that 10%, that would be 5%. That wouldn't only be wide enough to potentially be greater than the difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, but it would also guarantee the Libertarian Party federal funding. And you mentioned Bill Weld. Bill Weld has a lot of connections to a lot of big money Northeast men. And it's the type of ticket that when you combine the ballot access with the money that Weld could potentially raise and the super PAC money that supposedly is going to come the Libertarian Party's way, it does seem to me that you could get a fairly strong showing for the Libertarian Party, not winning, but say 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%, 7%, and that could make a difference.
Does that steal votes from Republican Donald Trump, or does it just lure anti-establishment people from both parties and who might not have voted otherwise?
That of course is the key question, right? If you look back to Ross Perot, for instance, in 1992, even though, you know, he got near 20% of the vote, he was stealing pretty equally from both Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush. If you look at the polling right now, it does seem more that it's a place where voters who are frustrated can place their frustration rather than stealing from Trump or Clinton. But that, of course, can change as the campaign goes on.
Hey, the Democrats still have this primary going on. It's the last big show, California and New Jersey on Tuesday. California, the biggest delegate prize. What are we looking at in the polling going into next Tuesday?
All of the polls have suggested that Hillary Clinton is leading Bernie Sanders. The question is the margin. Is it 2 percentage points as the PPIC poll had it? Is it closer to 20 percentage points as the Survey USA polling has had it? The demographics, it's a state that has a large percentage of Hispanics and a somewhat smaller percentage of African Americans, along with a pretty wealthy white population, does suggest that Hillary Clinton is favored in that state, probably by anywhere from, say, 5 to 10 percentage points. So we expect Clinton to win, be a close state, but remember, as I spoke about last week, given where the superdelegates are and New Jersey happening early on in the evening, I fully expect that the networks are going to declare that Hillary Clinton is the presumptive nominee 2 to 3 hours before the polls in California even close.
And as you pointed out previously, Harry, Democratic primaries are proportional representation. They are not winner-take-all. So even if Bernie Sanders pulled out a win in either or both state, it just makes up a little bit of his lost ground in the overall delegate count.
Exactly. He's down 270 elected delegates. He's down far more when you combine the elected or what most people call pledged delegates along with the superdelegates. Even if he won California by a point, she'd still clearly have more votes and more delegates than he would. That includes elected delegates. Simply put, unless she is indicted, and even if she is, Hillary Clinton is almost certainly going to be the Democratic nominee for president.
Briefly, as you wrap up, Harry, if that happens, if Hillary Clinton wraps it up, what do you watch for to see if the Bernie Sanders voters consolidate behind Hillary Clinton?
See, look at the polls after she wins the nomination. See if her lead expands like Trump's did after he clinched the nomination. And see what Bernie Sanders does. Does he, in fact, endorse Hillary Clinton, or does he hold out?
Harry, thanks as always.
Thank you.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst at 538.com. He joins us every week on Wednesday to talk about the latest in political news.